Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 24 through verse 29. Paul writes, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation or the commission of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the privilege that you have given us to come together and to be together and worship you together tonight. We pray, God, that you would help me rightly divide the word and to present it in all truth. And God, that you would help me to leave off anything that needs to be left off and say that which needs to be said. And God, I pray that you would open the eyes and the hearts, the understanding of those that are here to hear. God, I pray they would have ears to hear. And God, that you would use your word tonight to strengthen us and to challenge us and to direct us into the way in which is pleasing and glorifying to you. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, Paul, I think, was a caring servant of God. I think Paul cared about God. I think Paul cared about the gospel. And I think Paul cared about God's people. Amen? And I think we should care about the same things. We should care about God and the gospel and about God's people. And what I think Paul impresses here in this portion of Scripture is that caring is costly. To care for someone is costly. And you really don't care if your care has not come at some sort of cost. Notice the words that Paul uses here. We'll just sort of highlight them quickly here so you'll see them. Notice what he says. He uses sufferings and afflictions. And then we could go on and toward the end of this passage, he uses things like labor and striving. It's the cost of caring. And the cost of caring is that caring brings about suffering and afflictions and hardships and labor and striving. Now, I don't want you to miss what Paul is saying here. Paul, no doubt, was willing to suffer for the gospel's sake. Amen? Paul, an apostle, was more than willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. How many agree? But notice, Paul is also willing to suffer for the sake of his fellow believers. Not just suffer for the gospel's sake, but suffer for the sake of fellow believers, even believers he has never met or has never taught. I am convinced that there is more to Christianity and more to church than we really know or display. We are in fellowship with God, and also we are in fellowship with God's people. And if we don't care much about God's people, I'm afraid we probably don't care much about God, because they are tied together. Paul's life was full of suffering for the sake of God's people. And so there's some things here I want us to notice as we walk through this text about suffering and afflictions and laboring and striving. Number one, the suffering of the purchase of salvation. The suffering of the purchase of salvation. Now, Paul says something here that we need to be careful, or we'll make a mistake that we desperately don't need to make. Paul says, who now, he's talking about himself, who is a servant of the gospel, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up, or the idea is to complete, to fill up that which is behind or lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Now, Paul does not mean here that Christ did not pay the full payment or pay all that was required for our salvation. There are some who would look at this and say that Christ did part of it and then we are to do the rest of it. That Paul was to fill in that which Christ did not do, but that's not what Paul's saying here at all. How do we know that? Well, we know that Christ makes a sovereign purchase of His people. What I mean by that is the price that is paid for you and me and our salvation is a purchase that only Jesus Christ can make. Say amen. No one else and nothing else could purchase us, because the purchase of our salvation, of our sins, is requiring a God-man to make the purchase. It had to be someone that was fully man, because man had committed the sin, and fully God, or the wrath of God, could not be received. It had to be someone who was 100% man and 100% God. And there is only one God-man, only one Redeemer, only one Savior, only one Mediator, only one Jesus. And the purchase of our souls could only be accomplished by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Therefore, Paul had nothing to offer or nothing to add to his salvation. You and I have nothing to add to our salvation. Say amen. Christ has paid it all through a sovereign purchase. It also was a sufficient purchase. What Jesus did on the cross was sufficient to forgive us of all of our sins. Matter of fact, what Christ did on the cross was sufficient to forgive everyone who will believe all of their sins, past, present, future. Jesus did not leave anything for man to complete. When Paul speaks of filling in what was lacking, it does not mean that Jesus failed to do something or failed to accomplish the fullness of our salvation. It is not Christ did 99% of it and we have 1% left to do. Christ did it all. Everything that the law required and everything that the eternity of wrath that God poured out was accomplished in its entirety by Jesus Christ. And we must remember that Jesus did not only die for us, but Jesus died as us, as our substitute. Nothing was left undone, and nothing was left for us to do to secure our salvation. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. He suffered in our place, paying the full price and the full payment for our salvation. So Paul is not saying that he had to do anything to make up for what Jesus lacked. But we do know that the salvation that Jesus won for us was filled with afflictions, wasn't it? Filled with pain, filled with suffering. So I just want to say that so we don't make the mistake of thinking that we're adding to what Jesus has already done. Jesus did it all. So there is a suffering of Christ and Christ alone for the purchase of our salvation. Say amen. Now listen, there are people who claim to be Christians who aren't Christians who will tell you when you talk to them that they trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation, but they only trust in Jesus Christ in part. They must also do this, 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 and this. Jesus did part of it, but they must do the rest. That's not the teaching of the Bible. Amen? So I want to make sure we get that correct. Notice, secondly, the suffering of the proclamation to the saints. Not only do we have the suffering of Jesus Christ as He secures our pardon in full, but in Paul and in others, there is the suffering as the proclamation of what Christ has done, the proclamation of salvation in and through Christ, is proclaimed to the saints. Now, Paul did not save not one person. Amen? Paul didn't save anyone. He simply proclaimed to them who it was that could save them. But his proclamation to them of who could save them was full of suffering. Say amen. Christ suffered to purchase us, and then there is further suffering of those who proclaim to others who did the purchasing. So Christ suffers to redeem us, and then Paul and preachers and others suffer simply for proclaiming what Christ has done. Now Paul understands that he is commissioned by God. That's the idea here. He is commissioned by God according to the dispensation or the commissioning of God. Called by God, commissioned by God, to proclaim the gospel. But Paul also knows he was a servant to the church. Now, I don't think that you can properly proclaim the gospel without having both a God-given commission and a God-given care for the church. Because if you have just sort of an authority to proclaim the gospel, then that proclamation is going to be sort of wooden and unfeeling, and it's sort of like, here it is, take it or leave it. And if you have just love and care without authority, biblical authority, then it just becomes all emotional and compromise will be easy. Paul cared about God, but he also cared about God's people. And that's the spirit of what Paul's writing here. Notice what Paul says here about his suffering. He says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for what? For you. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for you. his body's sake, which is what? The church. Do you see what he's saying? My sufferings in the proclamation of the gospel, in telling unbelievers where they can find salvation, I have suffered for that, but that suffering was for the church. Now, he suffers for the sake of the body to preach Christ to them and to share with them the full counsel of the Word of God has brought Paul suffering. In other words, Paul says, listen, I'm not doing this for my own sake. I'm not doing this for my family's sake. I'm doing this for your sake. And the result of my doing this for you has been personal suffering. You with me? Now listen. To care that people hear the Word of God and to care that the true gospel will be proclaimed will always be costly. Right? If I truly care that people hear the Word of God and I truly care that they hear the true, genuine Word of God, the gospel, that's going to cost me something. Cost Paul something. He suffered because of it. We will suffer because of it as well. Paul was concerned about people's souls to such a degree that he was willing to suffer to share the gospel with them. So Paul knows that if he shares the gospel, he's going to suffer. Yet he cares so much about their souls and where they will spend eternity, he's willing to suffer so that they hear the gospel. He's willing to suffer for them. You with me? He was not simply suffering for the gospel's sake. He was suffering for their sakes. That's what he says. Not just for the gospel's sake, not just for God's sake, for their sakes. He was willing to suffer so that they may hear the true gospel. Quick question. Where was Paul when he wrote this letter to the Colossian church? He was in prison, wasn't he? It was during his first imprisonment at Rome. He's tied to a soldier. He's imprisoned, suffering for their sakes. Right? Imprisoned why? For preaching the gospel. Imprisoned why? For teaching their pastor. That their pastor may come back and teach them. You know the way you can tell a true servant of God? Is if he is willing to suffer for the sake of the body. Say amen. You remember the analogy is a shepherd and a hireling? What happens when trouble comes? What happens when wolves come? The hireling what? Runs away. When there's danger, the hireling leaves. He doesn't care about the sheep. He only cares about himself. How do I know, or how do we know we have a true, genuine saint of God? They care about the sheep. And they're willing to suffer for now, I've talked to people, and I know people are willing to suffer and to die for the gospel. They're ready to suffer and die for the Bible, right? But how many of us are like Paul, willing to suffer for the saints? How many of us are willing to suffer for Ken? Suffer for Barry? Suffer for Tom? Most of us aren't willing to suffer at all. We avoid suffering. We try to insulate ourselves from any sort of suffering. Paul says, I suffered for their sakes. I took the bad so that they could hear the gospel. Many will suffer for their families. Many will suffer for their sports teams. Many will suffer for their friends, but not many will suffer for their brother and sister in Christ down at the church. Let us test all teachers by this. Do they really care for you? And how do I know if they're caring for me? Are they willing to suffer so that I would hear the truth? Amen? Notice not only the reason for his suffering, but notice the rejoicing in his suffering. Paul says, not only does he suffer for their sakes, and not only does he suffer afflictions in his body for the church, but he rejoices. He rejoices in that suffering. Now, Paul did not enjoy the pains and the hurts of suffering, right? But he did rejoice in what his suffering accomplished. If my suffering, or Paul saying, if my suffering means the gospel is proclaimed to those who don't hear it, I rejoice. I rejoice to be in jail if being in jail meant they hear the gospel. The gospel is proclaimed. The name of Christ is proclaimed. The truth is exalted. And God saves His people. The salvation of souls was the delight of Paul. And the adding those to the kingdom of God was his goal. Even if it meant suffering. And nothing he would have to experience, no amount of suffering would deter him from his goal of seeing souls saved. He is glad that he can share Christ, and he is glad that he can share the gospel, even though it meant that he would suffer because of it. Amen? And I'm wondering, do we feel like Paul does? It seems that in America, we're more known in the church for fussing and fighting than suffering for one another. Somebody help me. We're more known for leaving one another instead of suffering for one another. Somebody help me. Paul says, I'm willing to suffer for the body's sake, for the church's sake, and I rejoice in the fact that I can suffer for their sake. Notice thirdly, the sufferings of the progress of the Scriptures. Now I'm going to skip, if it's okay with you, I'm going to skip verses 25, or 26 and 27, because you will notice that in verses 25, or 26 and 27, we have this word mystery twice, and we're looking at that on Sunday morning, so I don't want to mess that up. Say amen. So we're going to go back to verse 28, okay? At the end of verse 27, he talks about Christ. And he says, Christ, whom we preach. And what we do is we warn every man and we teach every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I labor and strive. Now, you understand that it is a wonderful thing to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. It's one of the things we should be all about, seeing people come to know Christ. But you understand that's not the entirety of the work. It is important that we also see those who come to Christ stay with Christ and grow in Christ. It is a part of making disciples, right? So, not only is the suffering of Paul needed to proclaim the gospel, but we also see that Paul suffered and strove and labored to see the gospel's progression in the life of those who believe. I want you to see something. The work of Paul was a spiritual work. Now, when we think that we are caring for someone, when we think that we are expressing care for someone, most of the time it's about doing something physical for them, right? We paid a bill, we took some food, we did this, we did that to show that we care. Are you listening? You understand that you can take food, pay a bill, do something nice, and not care about anybody. Say amen. You see, to care for someone, especially to care for those who are in the body of Christ, is not primarily a physical expression. To really care for someone is to provide spiritual care. Because the most important thing is not the physical, it's the what? It is the spiritual. Paul is not so interested that people eat and are clothed. He's interested that one day when they meet Jesus, they will be met there in the perfection of who Christ is. Isn't that the most important thing? Not the physical, but the spiritual. Sometimes we get that backwards. We think the physical is more important than the spiritual, and it's not. So Paul says here that he warns and he teaches. He warns and he teaches. From the wisdom of the Word of God. What does he give those that he cares about? He gives them the Word of God. He's not looking for numbers. He's not trying to increase the numbers of his church. He's not trying to establish his own kingdom. He is interested in their spiritual growth because he desires that they be presented perfect in Jesus Christ. Because the evidence of being in Christ is growth in Christ. So Paul not only cared enough to see them to come to Christ, but he cared the more to see them grow in Christ and to one day be perfect in God. And he suffered on both accounts. He suffered to bring them to Christ, and he suffered to help them grow in Christ by the words labor and striving. Amen? So Paul's goal, Paul's desire, where his care for them, the true genuine care is manifested, is what? In his desire to see them mature in the faith. To take the training wheels off their bikes. He wants them to know and understand the truth. Understand this. People that want you to know and understand and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ so that one day you will be presented perfect before Him, those people really, really care about you. Right? So Paul cared. And again, people can give you money, people can buy you groceries, people can give you clothes and not really care for you. But if there is one who truly cares about your eternal soul and really cares that you are saved and growing in Christ and one day will meet Christ perfectly in Christ, that person really does care for you. It is the one who suffers to warn you. It is the one who risks his own whatever to warn you. It is the one who suffers to teach you. In the wisdom of the Word of God, to assure you that you're saved and will be presented perfect in Jesus Christ, that person truly cares for you. Say amen. It is the one who cares for your eternal soul that really cares for you. It is the one who suffers to warn you, suffers to teach you spiritual truths. Those who really care are those who care about your spiritual walk and they seek to spiritually strengthen you. Amen? So if we truly care for one another, what should we be all about? Warning one another and teaching one another from the truth of the Scriptures so that we can help one another make sure that we are in Christ and ready to meet our God when our life is over. Paul labored and he strove with great effort. Why? Because he cared for them. Remember, Paul did not have eloquent speech. Paul did not have gimmicks for his methods. He didn't have a charismatic attitude. But what he did have was a genuine care for the eternal welfare of God's people. Now, what do you want? Can I ask you that question? What do you want? Do you want gimmicks? Or do you want charisma? Or do you want someone who cares for you? I don't know about you, but I want someone who cares about my soul. And can I just remind you, the reason that I study the way I do and preach straight from the Bible every time I preach is because I really do care about you. And each of us need to learn to esteem the content of teaching and not the attractiveness of teaching. Amen? Notice, lastly, this is not only a spiritual work, it is a strengthened work. Now, I want you to see something very, very interesting here. Paul says something that is remarkable. He says that he labors and he strives for the church, for their spiritual good, and his striving for the church and his willingness to suffer for the church was simply the outworking of the inward working of God in his life. You see that? Whereunto I also labor and striving according to his working. Who's working? God's working, which worketh in me mightily. You see that? So here's the deal. Why did Paul care so much about these beliefs? Why did he care enough to strive and to labor? Why did he care enough to suffer for these believers, especially the ones that he had never met at Colossae? What was it that was driving Paul to suffer and to strive and to go through afflictions for the sake of the church? Because he had Christ living. And Christ truly cares for his people. Say amen. And because Christ lived in him, because Christ was laboring in him, because Christ was striving in him, he labored and strove for them. It is us working out what God has already been working in. As a child of God, Paul was a servant to the church because God was working in him all these things mightily. Now listen. for us to truly care for one another the way that we should care for one another, it takes the work of the Spirit. Say amen. It takes the work of the Spirit for us to suffer for one another and to labor for one another. And if we don't have the Spirit living inside of us, we won't care for one another and we can't care for one another. But one of the marks of true servants of God is a genuine love and a genuine care for saints of God. Not that they should go out and strive to do that, but they will strive and they will labor and they will suffer and they will go through afflictions for the saints. Why? Because God that lives in them loves and cares for His people. And what's God doing? He's taking care of His people through His people. God cares a million times about you more than I ever could. But I do care about you because the God that lives in me cares so much about you. Amen? I am driven to suffer for saints because the Jesus that lives inside of me suffered for His people. Amen? He cares about us. He spiritually cares about us. And to the degree that God works in us, we also work for them. If God is not working in us a real love and a concern for the spiritual welfare of those in the church, won't be there. Right? I think it is why churches become so physical, so social, social gospel-like, meeting this need and meeting this physical need, meeting that physical need, and no spiritual things are happening. Why? Because I don't think there's any Spirit of God in them driving the spiritual care for people. Amen? But notice here, the Spirit of God working in Paul gives him a spiritual concern for those in the church so much that he will suffer for them. And if that is not there, we've got to check and see if the Spirit is really indwelling us or not. Do you know why it hurts a pastor when people just blow off church? Because he cares. Do you know why it hurts and hearts are ripped to pieces when people just walk out the door? Because the pastor cares. And the body cares. Amen? Do you know why it hurts when people fall into sin in the church? Because we care about them. We care about them. When people leave, we're hurt. Why? Because we care. When people just blow off church, when they're not here, we're hurt because we care. When they are following us, and we care. And we care because the God who really cares is living inside of us. And He is working that care in us, and we're working it out in the body. Amen? So what's Paul saying here? I think Paul's saying this. There's a cost to caring. And to be a child of God and have Jesus living inside of us means we care for one another, even if it means we suffer to care. Dear Heavenly Father, would You bless the Word to Your people's hearts? Would You help us to see that not only should we be willing to suffer and die for the gospel and for the Bible and for God, but we ought to be willing to suffer for our brothers and sisters in Christ for their spiritual good. Help us to examine ourselves to make sure that the God that cares for His people greatly lives inside of us and is moving us to also love and care for them as well. We thank You for Your Word tonight, and we pray that it would do a great work in our hearts. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen.